Oh man, it is a nice warm day. If you love hot summer days, this is a great day to be where we are because it is hot summer out there. I'm not a fan of that. I prefer air conditioning. We're almost done with Luke 14. If you're following along with us last week, Mike touched on if it sounds like, wait, did we just talk about a banquet? Yes, there's a few banquet parables, if you will. They're all really interconnected, in my opinion, and I think today's kind of speaks to that. So our small group, as Mike mentioned, if you've never been or would be interested in coming, what we usually do is Sunday mornings, we just recap and deeper dive on the sermon that happened before. Despite our best efforts, there's oftentimes things we just can't get to in a sermon, or questions maybe that come up about it. And today was one of those. Our small group was really nice trying to hint at today's topic as well. So if you've got your Bible, follow along with. If not, it'll be on the screen, but we'll be in Luke 14. Verses 15 through 24. When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and there is still room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" Let's pray. Lord, as we look at another parable, the idea of a banquet, eating a meal together with people that we perhaps love, perhaps people we don't know, but it's an honor to be there, or maybe we don't understand exactly what's going on. When we look at a setting like this, it's probably something that we can relate to in some manner, Lord. I pray as we open this scripture today and we think about this and we study this, Lord, I pray that the Spirit will do what the Spirit always does, and that is to take the Word of God and do something with it that is transformative. We trust in that and that alone, Lord. My words have no power. Our best efforts, our best hopes and dreams have no power. Your scripture is what brings all the power that we need. And I am so thankful for that, Lord. Help us to treasure this time together and appreciate the blessing that it is. In your son's name I pray. Amen. All right. So the great banquet. If it sounds familiar, we did touch on a great banquet last week. We might say this is the same banquet, and that's okay. There's a lot of things that we could have this assigned to and aligned to. So last week we talked specifically about how to behave at the banquet. If you recall, what Mike talked about was, well, you're invited, and which seat should you take? Should you take the seat of most prominence, assuming you're the bigwig, or should you sit at the back and let the Lord shuffle you up as you become more honored, let's say? And that, spoiler alert, you shouldn't go to the highest spot. You should let God move you to the highest spot. This week, we're going to see something that's maybe confounding by comparison. If we know that it's a great banquet, and the food is free, and it's the best thing ever, and it's the place you want to be, why would people not go? But here we're going to see an example of people who were invited but choose otherwise. They're just looking for something else to do. So let's go through this together and just kind of talk about what we see, and then we'll deep dive on, you know, what this means. So starting in 15, there's someone at the table at this dinner that they're at. If you recall, a few weeks back, he's basically at a city. He's been invited to come and have dinner at somebody's place, and while they're sitting here, he's telling some parables. He's talking about the kingdom of God. So one of the people reclined at the table with him heard the things that he just said, and it says, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." And then Jesus immediately pivots this into a parable. And I use the word pivot because the Bible says, "But he said to him," right? So Jesus is trying to take what he's saying and say, yeah, that's a good point. Blessed is everyone who eats bread at the kingdom of God. But get a load of this. Here's a parable. A man has a great banquet, and he invites many people. This is important to note. A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. Invited many. That's in the Bible. These aren't my words. This isn't me just making hyperbole here. He invites a lot of people to come. And when the time arrives, the man, the master who's throwing the banquet, sends his servant to fetch the invited. And then immediately they want a rain check. Verse 17, come, for everything now is now ready. And shockingly, they're too busy. They'd rather tend their field. I just bought some land. I just bought 5 head of oxen. I just got married. I've got things to do. I'm just not going to be able to make it. Please have me excused. Two of them say that. The other one just says, I've married a wife and therefore I can't come. Right? Nice try. Right? I'm pretty sure you could go if you asked to talk to her, but well, you know, I don't know. But the other two, please, I'm busy with work. I'm busy with livestock. My land requires tending. And so the servant shrugs and reports this to the master. And this angers the master. And you might think, ooh, anger, that's bad, right? And what's interesting here, I think worth noting, is the word that we see here, that's the word used for anger, is the exact same word that we see in Ecclesiastes, where it says, be angry, but don't sin. So this anger doesn't mean the master lost it and made some drastic decisions. What this is an actual sense of anger that, in the example of a master who is without sin, like God, is not sinful. This is righteous anger in this case. He is upset. He's frustrated, perhaps shocked, appalled, all the things that would make you feel that sense of anger at the fact that these people whom he invited, the many that he invited, don't seem to want to bother to come. There's other things going on. And in response to that, the master sends the servant out to invite all the least of society. And I use that term just because, as a general combinatoric for all the people that we see here. Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. So all these folks that are really injured in the world, they don't have a good quality of life, they don't own land, they have no oxen, they're not going to necessarily have wives or husbands or whatever else, go to them and invite them. And what's interesting about this is we see, sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. Now, we don't see the word invite the poor. He says, bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. The reality is, for most folks that are in a place of absolute desolation, inviting them in, the answer is yes, I'll go. You don't need to sell it. I don't have anything else going on. Anything has got to be better than this. Imagine walking in and realizing, oh, not only is it better than the suffering I was in, but this is mind-blowing. But we don't hear a lot about resistance here. He didn't have to convince them. He didn't have to show them a flyer and describe the kind of food that's there. We have a vegan option. None of this needs to happen. Go bring them in. Sir, what you commanded has been done. So they've brought in the people. There's still room. There is still room. The place is not full yet. He invited many. He has set up the banquet hall for all the people that he invited. And a bunch of people said, we're too busy. He said, go get all the people that will come no matter what. They're desperate to be at the banquet hall. They come in, still empty seats. And then the master does something very interesting here. Now, it's not so interesting in our world. And I only think it's worth noting because at a time like this, if you're sitting in somebody's house, try to imagine the picture of this and how maybe controversial this was. Jesus has been invited to somebody's house. Jesus was most likely invited because, well, it's Jesus, and this is good for me. I'm hosting, you know, the great teacher. And people are going to want to come over and talk to, well, you're the guy whose house they were at, had that fine meal. And Jesus is not telling parables about, like, don't act like you're, you know, a big mucky muck because you have a good banquet, right? Take it easy. Back off a little bit. You're not all you think you are. The big banquet, the rich people, they're not even going to bother to show up. They're going to be too busy throwing their own banquets or something. But here's Jesus sitting at a person's dinner where they are not going to be inviting the poor and the sick. And according to Jewish law, they had to be very careful about the non-Jewish people that they interacted with. And now the last group here is go outside of the city. The terms they use here are highways and hedges. So these would generally be non-city spaces, right? Highwaymen kind of approaches, you know, walking from spot to spot, passing between cities. Perhaps they've been thrown out of the city. Perhaps they've committed a crime. Who knows? There's myriad reasons why people would be out there, but just know that these folks are, we've invited everybody and they said no. Now we've got all the people that have nothing to lose, the poor, the destitute, the desperate folks in their end. And there's still room. And the master says, go out and bring in total strangers. Folks that don't know me, don't know this house, don't know what the banquet's about, have heard nothing. They don't have any skin in the game, right? They're not going to be seen as good, bad, or otherwise. They're completely unknown. Invite them in. And to me, there's a sense of urgency in this whole passage. Why would the master do all of this if he didn't really want the place filled up? He's got all this prepared, and it's going to be full. And then the final declaration that we see here is, for I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Now, when we read something like this, and you think, aha, the master sounds like he's now forbid them from coming, perhaps. Fair, I'll stipulate. But notice that as he declares that none will taste his banquet, they've already said, we don't want to go to your banquet. They're not outside saying, hey, we changed our mind. Now that you're inviting strangers, we'd like to come in. And he's like, oh, no, you don't, because I just declared, none of you can taste the banquet. We don't see anything here. Bring in the poor, bring in the sick, bring in the destitute, the crippled, the lame, the blind, the deaf. Bring all these in, the folks that are just so happy to be invited to anything. They come, they're overjoyed. Still room, bring all the strangers in, because I'm telling you, none of those people that we invited are even going to taste this banquet. Yes, it's declarative that they're not welcome here, but it's also a simple fact that they're not coming. They'd rather go be with their oxen or their land or their wives or their friends or who knows what other excuses they made of things that are better for them than this banquet. So, points to ponder. I titled this sermon, Come With Me. Come With Me. Because, you know, here what we see is a servant. We're going to touch on a little bit. But if you've been following along, that's yet another caveman's call song. The trend continues. So, points to ponder. Let's look at these four ways here. Come with me if you're invited. So, clearly this whole passage starts with an invitation. We're going to talk about that. You need to be invited. The invitations have to go out. Getting invites, great, but come with me only if you're interested. You can imagine the servant showing up and going through these very questions. Go to the people who are invited first. Come with me, you are invited. Yes, you were invited, great. Now, are you interested? No, I'm not interested. Okay, how about come with me if you're desperate? In this example, we see the sick, the poor, the forgotten of society, the least of these. Come with me if you're desperate. And then lastly, come with me if you're ready to be home. If you're not even from the area, if you don't have any knowledge at all of who God is or what he's done or what a peace and a home could feel like, what true, eternal salvation and assurance is like, come with me. Let's talk through these. So come with me if you're invited. And this might seem like a nonsense point. Like, well, of course, if you're invited, you should be able to come, right? But there are some who have had invites for a while. We talked about this in our small group. Folks that grew up in a church, grew up in a city like Martinsville. There's over 100 churches in Martinsville. Over 100 churches in our city. Let me tell you, there's a lot of invites out there. Now, some of them might have a bogus description of what's going on. They might be doing certain things certain ways, and it is what it is. But there's a bunch of people in this city, just one city, that know about Jesus. They're aware of the generalities of Scripture. Heaven, right, that's eternal life, and Jesus did what? He died on a cross, and I think he died for my sins, and then we can go through all this, and then how do I get to heaven? I think it's generally being a good person. You start to see it now fall apart. They got an invitation, but they didn't read it. They didn't get in the fine print. They didn't turn it over for terms and conditions. They didn't do any of that. They put it on the fridge and forgot about it. Now it's dusty. It's been covered by other stuff. And they're not even sure what's going on. And when you stroll into their lives, just like the people at the beginning of this book, and you say, hey, you've got an invite. And they say, yeah, I got the invite. But is it, oh, is this weekend already? Oh, goodness. You know, I just started a whole bunch of stuff. And you're going to, I wish you'd send out a reminder. You know, it's your problem because you should have told me a week ago. And these are things that I say to people. I got a text from a friend this morning, said, hey, we're doing something at our house. Come over. It's going to be a nice time, a little fellowship time. My reply, well, I have to check my schedule, which is what I always reply because I have to check my schedule. But I'm about to preach this sermon. I'm thinking to myself, I'm doing the thing that it wasn't an invite to the great banquet. He's not having the great banquet. He's also, as far as I'm aware, not God. So I'm probably covered. But in this case, when God invites you, you should probably go. And that's why it sounds like a nonsense point, but there are people that have been invited. There are people that I have spoken to, maybe hearing me right now, that have heard this before. And you're still too busy. You still don't want to do. what needs done. You just don't want to come around. Unironically, this parallels Israel throughout Scripture. God's people throughout Scripture always know what's going on, but they keep finding other things to do, and we're going to do it our way, right? I've got an idea, and there was not one person that did what they were told, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes over and over and over and over. Come and do it this way. Well, I was going to, but I thought a better way, or I'm also going to set up this pole and worship this. It just never ends. But just like here where we see the Israelites, the people, God's chosen people, and there are people that God has favored, and we see this in the Old Testament especially, he comes to them first. Christ comes to them first. Now we see it in a very similar way here. Christ has come to you today via my sharing from this pulpit. I am not Christ, and I don't represent Christ per se on paper. I'm just telling you, Christ is the key. Here is the invitation. Please come. And you can say, I'm not going to make it. Exactly what the Israelites said when Christ came to them. The parable he's talking about here is him coming to them in some regards. I'm here. Your invitation is open. Believe in me. I'm the way, the truth, the light. And they said, nah, I don't know about that. Maybe we'll kill you. Which is, of course, what they did. There are people who do not know the good news. There are people who do not know the good news, but there are far fewer who have never heard, especially around here. I think you'd have to work pretty hard in a city like this. I know it's different the world over, especially in like unreached people groups that, you know, folks like David Platt and the International Mission Boards are trying to get the gospel to places that the gospel has never been shared. They don't even speak a language that we know of yet or whatever. But there's no excuse for us here. There is no excuse. If you live to be 25 years old in Indiana and you have never heard about Jesus, I'm shocked. Just in passing, peers, friends at work and whatnot, curiosity on TV, movies that describe it that lead you to take a look at the Bible. We're out of excuses for not having an invitation. So come with me if you're invited. That's the first thing. Yes. Are you invited? Okay. Great. The invitations are out to just about everyone today. Everybody, at least most people I talk to, know what's up. Now we get to the second point. Come with me if you're interested. And this is where the rubber meets the road for those of us who have invites. And by those of us, I mean all of us. If you know about the banquet, and you know what's going to happen, the banquet is the final judgment banquet, yes, the wedding feast in heaven as eternity is breathed anew, yes, the forever eternal banquet of dwelling with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, all these are possibilities, but they all start with a belief and a desire. You can know about it. I can tell you the story. You can say, okay, sounds good. It's here in the Bible. I understand what that possibly means. No, thank you. Now, if you've heard me preach before, and you know that I'm a reformed kind of believer, you're going to say, oh, this is interesting, because now we're talking about choice. Yes. Yes. I can hear the invite. I can get a piece of paper that says, well, you are cordially invited to this party, and I can still say no. The question here is in bullet three, is God will save whom he will, but we still must choose. I want to be very clear. I mentioned it before. There is no shuffling of papers in God's desk in heaven, where it's like, he said no? Oh, no. What are we going to do? We've really got to reach him. God knows, has already decided who's in the book of life. But the people that choose to go, he's known they were going to choose to go. He is sovereign over their choice to go. He has foreknew that and made it happen. It is on God. Those who choose not to go still choose not to go. God's not surprised by that, because he already knew it was going to happen, and he is sovereign over it. But they still choose. If you want to know why we bother to do this, this is why. Christ himself is telling a parable of someone who's been given an invitation, and they reject the invitation, and the master of the house is mad and angry. And you might say, well, why would he be angry? If he's sovereign over it, he already knew. Doesn't matter. It's God's business. He can be angry about what he wants to be angry about. And we can make the choices that we make, and whether we feel like it's not a choice because God made me choose it or knew I was going to, however, doesn't matter. Still my choice. These people chose to pick the oxen over the banquet, to pick the field over the banquet, to pick their family over the banquet. They chose to do it, and it made the master angry. And that should give us pause. Maybe I should reread this invitation. Maybe I should think twice about it. There's stuff to do. Maybe my land isn't as important. Maybe I really don't want to miss something like this. Which is what, well, if you're not interested, get interested. If when I talk about this or you hear this stuff and you say, yeah, it's confusing to me, but I'll just deal with it later. Note the urgency in this passage, the urgency in this parable. But we've got to get this place filled up because at some point, the banquet will start. So you're interested or not? No, great. What if you're desperate? Come with me if you're desperate. Here in this passage, we see the master extend invitations to those that are never invited. Now, I'm using this as kind of a Heacock Standard version, right? But the kind of place that Jesus is at when he's talking about this parable, they're not inviting the folks that the master invites in this passage. These are folks in the streets that are dealing with all kinds of infirmities, mental, physical, and otherwise, poor, destitute, completely dependent on the world around them for survival. They probably don't turn down invitations to much of anything, but in this case, what we see is the desire for God to fill the banquet. All of those who, he wants everybody there. He wants everybody there. And they accept, apparently without debate. He says, go get them. And he goes and gets them. He says, it's been done. There's still notion. There's still plenty of room here. And the notion to these folks of eating bread in peace with the master at a banquet is more than enough. We can be cynical. If I sent an invite to you and I said, hey, I'd like for you, here's a great example. Hey, I'd like for you to come over and have a nice meal at my house. It's going to be a steak dinner. I've got a private chef coming in. He's going to do it all up real nice. And you're like, that sounds pretty good. It'll be 2 hours. But all I want to do is tell you a little bit about a timeshare opportunity. And then being like, ah, it's not a free meal at all, right? This is all a big ruse to get me to hear something, to trick me. Now, for me as a discerning person who can afford my own steak dinner if I choose to have one, I don't need your steak dinner. I'm not interested in playing whatever game you've got. I know what the catch is, and I'm not going to go. In this case, if somebody is starving to death, they probably don't care what you're going to do. A steak dinner? Yes. Well, I'm going to tell you about my timeshare. Talk to me about whatever you want. You can call me a fool to my face. You can make fun of me for 2 hours as long as you give me a steak dinner. I'm so hungry. And that's what we see here. He goes, get these people that have been left aside that no one's got time for, and they come. These are the folks that are desperate. The world has wrung them out and beat them up. You might feel like one of those people today. I can't do it anymore. I just want into the banquet. I don't care what it costs. You don't need to read the fine print. Oh, you want to? You get half my fortune? Guess what? I'm penniless. You're going to take half my life away? Guess what? I'm destitute and suffering and agony every day of my life. You can have whatever you want. Just let me in. Anything's got to be better than being on the street. They maybe have heard the rumors and seen the comings and goings. You got to think about a master that's got a place in a banquet hall this big, probably known by a few people, kind of going back to my first point about evidence. Clearly, people know what's going on. These folks, I just want in. I never get invited to anything. Nobody. All the people you send the invites to don't even talk to me. And now you're asking me in because they said no. I don't care who's there or not. I'm in. That's more than enough. And the good news, if you will, is there's plenty of room thanks to those opting out. It's tricky business here. He's invited a whole bunch of people. He's built a banquet hall for a finite number of people, and a bunch of the invites went out too. Don't want to come. Sounds good. Let's fill it with the desperate. They fill it up, but there's still room. And that's the last one. Come with me if you're ready to be home. Now, these folks are out in the distance at a time like this would have been, oh, you can imagine the Pharisees and stuff. It's like, careful, careful. We got to be careful who we interact with. They don't just want to invite any old riffraff into the city, especially on certain times of day and certain seasons and this, that, and the other. But that's exactly what happens. There's still room at the banquet, the big celebration. Let's go. Lastly, the invites go out to those who have no home, the forgotten, perhaps. They live on the outskirts, the highways, hedges. These are people that are not from here. They aren't family or friends or relatives. They may have completely different belief systems, completely different value systems. Who knows what's going on? They're barbarians in some regards. It's terrible, fearful things if you dwell on it too long. And this is who, I want the place full. The master wants the place full and welcomes all who desire a place to call home. And this might seem in today's world like a little bit hard to pin down. It is for me just because We have people from other cities, but we don't necessarily see them as vastly different. We're all Americans or something along those lines. Most of us all speak English and things along these lines. So it doesn't quite feel as foreign, but you might have people here that are invited to this banquet in this example that don't even speak a common tongue. They don't know who God is, don't even appreciate that. They've never heard of this master. They're not giving him any due deference. They're not even putting on airs that they think the guy who's throwing the party is a good guy. They don't know what's going on. But you go out and you invite them and say, there's a guy, he's throwing a banquet and you're invited. And they say, that sounds good to me. Our feet are tired. It's freezing out here. We don't know where our next meal is going to be. There's a lot of lack of surety in our lives as we drift from place to place, desperate to find a home where we could settle down at some point and make a life. And you're going to invite us to a banquet? That sounds great. It's a key thing to note that there are no people unwelcome unless they're unappreciative. If you don't want to be there, if the banquet's not for you, if this is going to be too much work, if you've got bigger fish to fry than God Almighty, well, there's the door. Don't come. No problem. So what about us? Well, if you're here today, you've got an invitation, so congrats. That's what I'm talking about right now. This is the truth. I am telling you there is a great banquet. It's going to happen. Time is short. Please come and join us. If you have questions about that, that's exactly what we're here to talk about. It's all about getting yourself squared away, understanding what the banquet means, understanding its benefit, and then you start to realize that that's exactly the place to be. I want nothing more than the banquet. The banquet is real, and it is starting soon. How soon is soon? Well, if I could tell you, I would, but I can't, so I won't. But just know it's soon. And you'll likely find yourself in one of today's three categories, what I just talked about. You've got the invite, but you're very busy. You're poor and desperate, and I'll take anything. I've never had a home. I've been adrift, and I'm tired of being in orbit around something. I want to be in the middle of something. Perhaps you're not considered it, but it's true. You might be saying, well, what do you mean? You may have been in church, involved, and blessed your whole life, but you choose the world. I empathize with this one. I had a nice upbringing, but for a long, long time, I just did things my way. I had heard the good news of Scripture, and I saw it as a crutch for people that were feeble-minded and, you know, needed something to dwell on that was, until I read the fine print, if you will. And then the Holy Spirit changed that for me, and I began to see that there was a depth, that the banquet was far more exciting and awesome and awe-inspiring and impactful than I imagined it ever could be, that the Master was worth spending time with. But I chose the world for a long time, and no one was going to come at me with, like, hold on, here's a logic puzzle that'll prove to you that God's real, and then you have no choice to believe. It never worked like that for me. Finally, Jesus had enough, and he fixed me, and that changed everything. You might be poor, sick, and suffering in the world, but you choose the banquet. Maybe you find yourself in a place of, like, you know, just left and right punches. I live in the city. I know what's going on here, but today, if you're going to allow me to come in, then I'm in. If you let me in, I'm coming in. I don't care what it looks like. I'm so tired. There's no shame about this. I know people might stare at me because they know what I've done, and they know that I'm the leper, or they know I'm the person that committed this crime or can't walk or stumbles or slurs or speech or drools. All these things, people might look at me. I don't care. Let me in. Let me in. And then lastly, you may have been isolated by the world, drifting without a home base, but you choose the banquet. The people that have been in church involved in the blessed, they don't want to bother with it. I got it pretty good out here. The providence that God has wrought and the people that claim to care, they're the one to take care of me. I don't need to commit to anything. I'm not interested in the banquet. I like what's happening out here. But look at the folks that just are desperate for anything. Desperate for anything. Is that everyone? Well, there is a fourth category in the story, kind of a spoiler alert maybe, but let's not forget the servant. The one who's charged with managing these invitations in the story. It's easy to forget about them because we see the servant sending invitations out the categories, like, well, I don't know, what about the people who believe? What about the people who got the invitation and want to be there? Well, that's who the servant is. The one who's trusting in the banquet and working for the master until it's time. You see, if you receive the invitation and you don't believe it, then someone's probably going to have to come and talk to you about it's time for the banquet. And you say, well, I don't really care what time the banquet starts. I'm not interested in the banquet. I'm busy with all these other things. That's why I didn't bother to read the invitation or think about it or be thoughtful about why the invitation was sent. If you got a random invitation from the Sultan of Brunei to come to an event, you probably wouldn't be like, well, whatever. You'd probably say to yourself, why would he invite me? I don't even know him. How does he know me? Let me get to the bottom of this. And you'd start doing some research. And you realize that this or that. The other say, well, listen, I'm going to go, and it's kind of a big deal. And now that I know what's going on, I might give him a call and see if I can help out or whatever else, because it's extraordinary that he thought of me. But if you don't care, then you just don't care. You get a reminder like, I'm not going to that. I'm not looking. I don't know if it's real or not, but I'm busy. I got plenty of stuff going on. Too many irons in the fire as usual. The servant is the one charged with managing the invitations. You'll note here, there's not a single time where the master himself goes directly out to the people and says, did you get my invitation? It's a servant that does it on behalf of the master. And you could read this and say, and they may have asked him, why, Jesus? Why? Why don't we have the master himself coming out and doing the invitations? I don't know. Clearly, the master has decided to put the servant in charge of that. It's the master's discretion. This is the manner in which the master has chosen to conduct his banquet. These are the people I'd like invited. Go invite them. Go remind them. Why don't you do it? Because I asked you to do it. I heard that a lot when I was growing up. Why don't you do this? Because I asked you to do it. You see? Then I don't have to do it because you're going to do it. Okay. So with that, I welcome you to join the party planning committee. That's what the servant's doing here. All kidding aside, while the banquet will happen, we are helping with the setup right now. We desire to be the servant in this story. We want to manage these invitations. We want to get them out to the right people. For those that are desperate, that want something, come in. You are welcome. This parable proves it. I've got nothing left in this world. I just need something. And if you're telling me Jesus that something, then I'm in. Then get in here. Get in here. That's all I need to hear. Yes, yes, boom. It's the master's invite, not me. He's told me to do it. I'm not making these decisions arbitrarily. I'm not the one that gets to pick who doesn't and doesn't come. The master says. But what we see here is it's wide open. The worst, the least, in, come in, no home, please come in. Everyone's invited, and the people that get the invites, some of them say, I'm not interested in doing that. I'll wait. The banquet's finally going to happen for a long time. I'll accept the invitation far later. The servant in this story has an invite. Now, that's not talked about, but they're there. They're at the banquet. They're managing this. They're inside the house. They're part of the banquet. I'd like to think that what the servant's doing is they're at the banquet, and they're waiting on each other to get the food in, right? They're not talked about here. But if you think about how this works, it's a servant. Sit down, we'll serve you, and then we'll serve one another. The servant in this story has an invite, but instead of waiting for the banquet to begin, they are working for the master. Look at these two attitudes. Thanks for the invite. I'll RSVP after I check my calendar. Literally a text I sent this morning. Versus, thanks for the invite. How can I help? Right? If you're in and you understand what the banquet is and you've learned about the banquet, it's probably going to draw you to a place where I think there's a job to be done here. If there's this many people to get invites out to, it's almost like, you know, I don't know, maybe the harvest is great and the workers are few. I mean, that's, once again, not my words. If it sounds wise, this is God's words. This is what's happening here. The master wants people to receive their invite, drop everything and go help. Who's going to invite the poor? Who's going to invite the sick? Who's going to go out to the hedges and the highways and do the work? It's not the master. Why? Because the master said, I've got servants for that. So that's today's call to action. Jesus chose to use his church as the means to spread the good news because this glorifies God and is good for us. I can tell you that unequivocally. It glorifies God when we share the good news. When we talk about the banquet and people ask questions and we answer it. If you're hearing my words today and you got questions, we got time to talk to you. I don't know if we got answers, right? But the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit will do all the spiritual work needed. We just need to invite people in faith. Look at what the servant does here. He does exactly what he's told. He's not Carl or charged to go in there and say, hey, when someone asks about the very specific details of the invite, be prepared. You need to know all the details. You just need to hand them an invitation. I invite you, here's the truth. You got more questions? Let's figure it out together. Let me go back. I can ask the master some questions for you. You can come with me. We can talk to him. I don't have all the answers. I just serve the master. I do what I'm told. If you're ready to accept the invite, please reach out. If this banquet sounds like a place for you, and by the way, it is, reach out to us. Let us know. You can, on any of the streaming platforms we're on right now, you can put something in the chat. We'll get back to you. office@calvaryheights.org. Send us an email, message on Facebook, whatever it takes. Don't wait another minute. Don't pin the invitation to the thing and say, I'll deal with that tomorrow. Let's go right now. And if you're ready to accept the invite, or maybe you're not ready to accept the invite, but you just had a lot of questions, reach out. We want to start a conversation. There's a handful of people in the room today that are going to hear this, and if they have questions, they can come right up and ask. And I know it's tough sometimes online if you're seeing this even a week or two later. It's not too late. Hearing the good news, hearing the word of God shared with you is grace from God to you. One more breath, one more heartbeat, a chance to hear the good news again and give your life to Christ. Accept the invitation. Join the household and help spread the good news. There's still time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for not giving up on us. I thank you that you're willing to extend the invitation and delay the banquet until everybody that needs to get the invite gets the invite, Lord. And I can't wait until that last person arrives and the banquet can begin. I am so looking forward to the beginning of eternity without all the hassles of sin and death in this world, Lord. But until that day, Lord, I pray that we are drawn to be servants to you, bond servants, voluntary slaves to your will, your desire. And we do the needful by learning and trusting and sharpening each other as iron sharpens iron, not just so that we can walk around and boast of our own accord. Heaven forbid we do that, Lord, but that we may share the good news, the power that you bring, the life-changing power. Lord, I am so thankful for this time to gather, a place to gather. And Lord, help us never to take this for granted. I thank you for your providence. And Lord, I look forward to see what you're going to do as we continue to hand out invitations and share the good news of the great banquet. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.